Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
We've got our take cannons loaded and ready. Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
This is Reception, Reception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Coe, Matt Harmon here with you. You're listening to Reception, Perception, the show. Matt, how are you doing on this beautiful Wednesday night? Everyone's going to hear this on Thursday, but how are you doing on this beautiful Wednesday night?
Oh, James, I'm good, man. Week 17.
Oh my God,
quite a chaotic week we've got here. You know, we're not going to be talking about a lot of this stuff because we're doing a mailbag episode. But there's, you know, starting quarterbacks being benched. There's you know, big time running backs just taking the week off. It's like teams are looking to week 18, the meaningless week in fantasy football. It's total chaos out there. You know, people asking about should I move my championship back to week 16? And then then there's the buys that are gonna, it's a mess. I mean, what can you do?
Absolute disaster zone. Hey, listen, while we got it here, man, like, can we talk about Derek Carr a little bit here? I just wanted to get your takes on that. Derek Carr getting benched, obviously, by the Raiders. And again, a lot of it is the contract, right? Like, they want to make sure that he does not get injured, because if he has an injury designation, that contract then becomes secure, right? That's what the Raiders want to avoid. So thus, they're saying, well, you know what, Derek, why don't you take an early vacation here? We're going to roll with Jarrett Stidham. And in the fantasy championship, not that many folks were relying on Derek Carr. Maybe you were. I don't know. Maybe you were. Two QB league. It's possible. But more importantly, Davante Adams, oh my God, fantasy championships. What are we anticipating for Davante Adams with now a backup quarterback in Jarrett Stidham?
Yeah, in a very, very difficult spot, too, against the 49ers defense.
Brutal.
It's been incredible. You know, Josh Jacobs, too. Obviously, no Derek Carr. It's just going to bring down the ceiling and quite frankly, sink the floor of the entire offense. And this is a guy, Josh Jacobs, going against this 49ers defense. No running back has rushed for more than 60 yards on this defense all year. Brian Robinson got close at 58 last week and eventually got game scripted out. So, like, how can you not start Davante Adams? How can you not start Josh Jacobs? I get that, but like, I mean, dude, this Jarrett Stidham, this was his first career start. This is a nightmare. And by the way, for the Derek Carr part of it, man, I know what you're saying. Obviously, I get it from a business angle, but God, it does feel a little shitty for Carr. You know, a guy who, look, he's not an elite quarterback. You know, my wife was actually just downstairs. She's got back from teaching a yoga class, and she's like, what's the deal with the Derek Carr thing? I'm like, oh boy, where do we start? Well, you know, I was like, he's not an elite quarterback. Nobody would argue that. Nobody would argue he's top five, but he could give you probably anywhere between what, quarterback 10 to quarterback 15 type real life NFL production in any given year. You know, he's sort of around that Kirk Cousins barrier, right? So, but the Raiders have obviously realized there's a ceiling with him. I get that there. And I agree, there is a ceiling with Carr, but this is a guy who's given, you know, 9 years to the franchise, right? He's cried in press conferences about how much he's cared. And just to be like, you know what? We don't want to pay you. We're done with you. So why don't you just get out of here for the next couple? And I mean, he's the one, I think, jointly came to the decision to get out of there. I don't know. It just sucks for Carr to, like, you got to get benched for Jarrett Stidham purely because they don't want to pay you. And I don't know, it just really does send the Raiders into a bit of a wilderness here in the offseason.
You know, and I think the doubly crappy part about the whole thing, too, is that the guy, Derek Carr, he thought about his teammates and he wanted to, you know, think about, you know, re-signing Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller and all those things. Yep. And you know what he did this offseason? He restructured his contract. Like, that's
very
the part to
friendly.
Me. Obviously very team friendly that the guy can restructure his contract and get cut at 1 year after the restructure. That is so crappy, man. And it's just, bro, like, it's just, I just can't believe it. I mean, look, he built in a no trade clause. Fine. But financially, he just, it just is so incredible that he was, you know, I don't know. It's such a crappy move by the team to kind of do this and, like, honestly, kind of sort of negotiate in bad faith. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, yeah, you're our guy. Don't worry about it, Derek Carr. Oh, by the way, we're going to cut you after a year. That seems pretty crappy, man.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was on this show or a different show where somebody, you know, asked, and because Davante Adams, like, he even said it today that he is only with the Raiders because of Derek Carr. Like, he's the reason he's there is because he wanted to play with Derek Carr. They've talked about playing together forever. They played in college together. Everybody knows that. Now, Adams also grew up as a Raiders fan, has, you know, Raiders mm-hmm. fans in his family, that whole part of it too. But he did, again, he literally said today, he is the reason I'm here. This is why this happened. And, you know, it's like, well, you had to know this was possible, right, Adams? Like, Davante, you had to know that the team-friendly part of this deal. Number one, I don't know if players are looking at contracts quite that way, especially other players' contracts.
Oh,
number
two, there's no way,
right? Like, I don't think Derek is like, hey, by the way, I worked in this little clause where, like, they can get rid of me after a year. Exactly. But at the same time, too, like, you know that a guy like Adams came in there and be like, well, we're going to ball out together this year. Like, we're going to take this team the distance and bet. Mm-hmm. We're betting on ourselves. And obviously, even if those guys aren't the biggest reason why, and certainly not Davante, they're not the biggest reasons why the Raiders have been disappointing this year. They lost that bet because of the performance of the team. And I don't think Carr's had his best year for sure this year. The ball placement's been a little questionable and, you know, just working in a new system. So, it sucks, but I think Derek Carr now has incredible leverage, though, because he does have that no trade clause. And either what's going to happen is they're going to trade him to a place he agrees to go to, or they're going to outright cut him and he's going to get paid. I mean, because he's going to get paid on the open market, man. Regardless of what you think about Derek Carr, a guy of that caliber at his age never hits free agency. Never, ever, ever. Like, the free agent quarterbacks are usually goofballs like Teddy, and that's disrespectful to call Teddy Bridgewater goofball, but, you know, it's like Teddy Bridgewater level quarterbacks. Okay,
yeah, so
Carr is going to get paid.
I mean, he will be 32 years old, though, and coming off of a down year, you're right, he will get paid, but I just wonder, man, like, obviously he's not going to see the kind of salary that he was going to see with this contract, right, where he's getting paid, like, I forgot what it was, like 30 or 35 million per, whatever it was. He's not going to see that level of money for the next 3 years. You know what I mean? So
probably not.
Like I said, I feel bad for him because, again, he wanted to do right by the team. And, you know, the team just turned right around and said, thanks, but no thanks. And boy, that is such a crappy way to go. All right. I am also worried about Davante Adams. And as you mentioned, Josh Jacobs with the toughest matchup on the board, the whole offense kind of looks like it's going to tank a little bit. But the matchup for Adams is not horrible. San Francisco has given up quite a bit of production to outside wide receivers. As a matter of fact, since week number 6, they've given up the 10th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers lined up outside. It's just a question of how much are they going to throw it? And also, is Jarrett Stidham, like, is he even a reasonable backup quarterback? Of that, we are not sure. We have no idea.
Hey, Jarrett Stidham has got, like, he came in as a relief guy for Tom Brady before in, like, a blowout win and actually got benched because he was so bad in a blowout win that they actually put, like, Bill Belichick put Tom Brady back on the field because Jarrett Stidham was so bad. So that not great. I don't know.
And that's the guy that Josh McDaniels wanted to bring in as a backup. Come on, dude. What is
familiarity is a hell of a drug, buddy.
Oh my God. Unbelievable. Anyways, first time ever this season, we are doing a mailbag episode. We want to hear from you, the people. To be honest with you, generally we don't do mailbag questions because we have so many things that we want to cover in the NFL. And not saying that we don't have that, but I did think that it would be fun to kind of, like, close the year out doing some things that we didn't do and just hearing from y'all out there. And there's some high profile questions in here too, man, which I love. But let's start with it, okay? This is from Real Curtis, okay? Factoring in top end skill and depth and assuming full health, who are your top three wide receiver core? Matt Harmon.
Yeah, this is actually a pretty difficult question. I gave this a lot of thought because there are a lot of teams with great wide receiver duos, but mm-hmm. then they don't have, like, a really great number three. So the idea of, like, and because you're asking, like, not like ranking top receiver duos, which, by the way, that's a difficult exercise because there's a lot of really good duos, but it's like top three wide receiver cores full on is difficult because, like, for example, Philadelphia, like, they've got a great wide receiver duo, but Quez Watkins as the wide receiver three, where are we at there? So for me, I think number one has to be the Cincinnati Bengals because they are an outlier from what I just talked about. Not only do they have a legitimate 1A, 1B duo in T. Higgins, they also have a very good number three, a very good slot receiver in Tyler Boyd. I think if you're asking Boyd to be your number two, you're punching above your weight, but he's got to be one of the best wide receiver threes in the entire NFL. So for me, I think they have to clear cut be the answer at number one.
I like that a lot. And again, when you just talk about top end, I mean, Miami is the premier team with two top flight wide receivers in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
Right. They're my number two team, and I had Seattle as my number three. For me, the number two team, obviously, Miami, like you said, what they have is just stupid.
It's like, just ridiculous, dude. Come on.
It's ridiculous. I mean, because the fact of the matter, we've seen this happen. Like, if you make a mistake against this team, it's not like, ah, shoot, you're going to get gashed. It's like, no, you're going to literally give up a touchdown. You make one mistake, the drive is over. They score 6 points on you because of the speed of those two players. Now, their number three receiver position, you know, Trent Sherfield, like, he's a nice little fine veteran, but he's not like a needle mover at the wide receiver three position. So that's kind of what I'm saying is that there are a lot of duos like that. I mean, Seattle, the duo I have here, and that might be a little bit of, actually, you know, the more I'm looking at it, I'm not 100% sure how I feel about it because I could put Philadelphia there for the same reasons. Like, they have a great, they have a good one. They've got a good one who I think, they've got a good two who I think is actually a number one, Lockett in Seattle, Devontae Smith in Philadelphia. But the wide receiver three position, I think Marquise Goodwin is a little bit better than a guy like Quez Watkins. But, you know, whatever, like, what's the difference there? I think Brown is probably better than Metcalf and Lockett. But Lockett is probably still, I'd give him just a bit of a nod above Devontae Smith right now. But that could obviously that they've got two guys going at different career angles. So they're kind of my guys there for why the third best if we're talking top three.
Yeah, I probably would go Philly just a hair over Seattle just because of age, as you mentioned. But I look, you could certainly make a case, I think, for Seattle being number three and Philly being number four. But they're I think you're right. I think they're interchangeable. So those are your top, you know, three, four teams there. Yeah. Who else you got?
I gave honorable mentions for the depth part of this to Washington and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, I think, is still they've got two quality starters, guys who aren't having their best years. Although I definitely think that both these guys are for Godwin. Obviously, he's not having his best year because he's coming off the ACL. We don't expect Godwin to be fully formed until 2023. You know, this is definitely something I'm going to put on the site in the offseason about guys, especially after this group of guys we've witnessed this year that are big time players that have been playing in the first year off an ACL, but we can expect guys to lose their ability to beat man coverage by, you know, almost 2-3% in reception perception when they're coming off that first year off an ACL tear. So Godwin, I think, will be back to full form next year. I think Evans, a lot of his season has been mostly a factor of the way the offense has flowed, the fact that the coaching there has not been good, and I've been charting Mike Evans for RP. I don't think he's lost a step. I think he's probably still about the same player. And Russell Gage, I think, is a fine wide receiver three. And we know I love the guys in Washington. We have other questions about Jahan Dotson on the outline, so I won't go in depth there. But their 1-2-3 is really, really good as well.
Yeah, I think their 1-2-3 is great. And to be honest with you, I think if we're just talking about total depth, they're right there, man. You know who's a sneaky dark horse to make this list too is the Jets. And then the Jets are a sneaky little one.
They are definitely a sneaky team. The only thing is just like, I think we'd be able to have this conversation with them more if Elijah Moore had the season that we were expecting instead of the very weird campaign he did.
Okay, very fair. Another team that I think could sneak in there too. And again, remember, the question is when healthy, assuming full health. I think San Francisco, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel. You talk about, George Kittle is a tight end, but, you know, clearly a pass-catching guy. CMC, you throw into the mix too. Just in terms of like pass catchers, not full on wide receiver. By the way, Juwan Jennings. I mean, all this dude does pretty is catch player. First downs. He, I mean, that's. Yeah. I mean, he's so clutch for them, which is pretty interesting, right? Like, he just literally just goes in there on third and whatever and just catches first downs. It's incredible.
Yeah, and Ray McLeod's not a bad little like gadget guy to pop up every now and again either. So right. That's definitely a group worth mentioning because, I mean, you know, I think Brandon Ayuk is a number one receiver. Debo's exactly. The most unique player in the NFL. So, yeah, they're definitely right. A group that deserves to be mentioned as well.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.